This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yeah, this is my fault. We were going to the first leg kick, then Zach was IDing stuff. I felt the DBs rotating and changing the back end picture, so when he was IDing stuff, telling the O-line where to go, I was just trying to get that final picture before the snap came. So at the end of the day, it's on the first leg kick, so after I kick my leg up, I got to be ready for the ball, no matter, you know, when it's going to come or not. So, yeah, it's on me.
Justin Fields taking responsibility for the botched snap on the final two-minute drill for the Steelers on Sunday, and joining us now to get into that and all the offensive line related things is Super Bowl champion Trey Essex. The Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Good morning to you, Trey. Thanks for joining us, buddy. How you doing?
Fantastic, fellas. How about you?
Doing good. Steelers 3-1, trying to keep it all in perspective. I know you were tweeting through, as many people were, that end-of-the-game sequence between McCormick and Frazier and Fields. You heard the description there from Fields. We've all now seen the video. Does that seem to jive? Is that what happened?
So I've talked to some former teammates, some centers, and we discussed this in detail. There are a couple of things. Kudos to Justin either way, if it was his fault, if it wasn't his fault, for stepping up to the podium and taking the blame on his shoulders. That's the sign of a leader. Love that about him, especially when it's a rookie center who's getting a lot of flack, who's been an absolute dog for us this entire season so far. So, and you could tell that he was taking it hard in his post-game interview because he was just, he was all in his emotions. He didn't know quite how to answer. He didn't know what was he understood the magnitude of it. You could tell the kid was taking it hard. So it was great to see Justin step up at the podium and just take the blame. But as I looked at that play, and I overanalyzed it, there are a couple of things that stood out. Mitch McCormick continuing to look back at Justin while the snap was happening made me think, and made a lot of my think that we discussed this, that it was on the second kick and that Zach might have just been a little premature. This is why we think that, because when you're a rookie and you're in there starting your first game ever, and you know the game is going to be called on silent count, there's one thing that you don't mess up. There's one thing that you're always going to concentrate on, you're going to hone in on, and knowing exactly when that snap count is, when you're responsible for the tap on the center. And so if it was on one, I don't think Mitch McCormick, he would be okay. Like, he wouldn't be looking back. If it was on two, you're locked in because you know that it's on two and you're the one person that is the communication between the center and the quarterback. So from that perspective, we think that it was on two. But it's hard to say. Justin said that it was on the first leg kick. And the thing that gives me that's kind of odd is the fact that there's that delay that is on the first leg kick and Justin doesn't know exactly when the center's going to snap the ball. He just has to wait for it. That doesn't vibe with me. Like, that seems like when the quarterback gives his leg kick, he gives the center enough time to make the call at the line of scrimmage, who's the mic, who they're sliding to, and then he gives the leg kick. And then it's a pretty standard snap, pretty standard time between the leg kick and the snap versus just letting it just happen as a center. That doesn't make any sense to me because the quarterback has to know when the play clock is coming down. And so to leave that much time for that much distance between the snap and the leg kick, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I know I said a lot right there, a little word salad for O-line, but at the end of the day, Justin did what he was supposed to do as the leader of that team. He took the blame, whether it was his fault or not.
Is that a tough task for a rookie guard? And would you, is there an alternate way of doing things? Like, knowing Mason McCormick had that task, but also having to go in at right guard for the first time this year, been playing left guard and rotating a little bit. Is there an alternate way to do that? To have a silent count without having to task your young rookie center and rookie guard of being on the same page with those things?
It's tough, man. And actually, my very first experience, ironically, with not having a silent count was against the Colts in the old RCA Dome. And me at left tackle with freaking Hall of Famer Dwight Freeney lined up against me. And I don't know if y'all remember the RCA Dome. And how they apparently had the loudest crowd, but they really pumped music through.
Yeah, they would pipe that up in there. Yeah,
they would pipe that up. So then, that was in 2005. We had to try to hear Ben's snap count, and I couldn't hear freaking Alan Faneca talk to me next to my right. And so, it came to a certain point where I was going off Dwight Freeney's movement, and that was just that's a bad, bad place to be in. So, all that to say is. Yeah, silent count, you need it because it gives the O-line at least a semblance of getting off the ball on time. That's the one advantage we have as an offensive line is to anticipate the snap count and get off before the defense does so they're not timing it up. I guess college does the hand clap thing, which I've never had that done before, so I don't understand the whole dynamics behind that, and it gives you advantage. But there's no other way I can think of, especially in a loud environment like the Lucas Oil is, other than a snap count, that silent count.
Trey Essex joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. So it's not just the shotgun. It's not just the silent count either. I mean, we've seen the under center problems happen between Justin Fields and Zach Frazier going all the way back into the preseason. Regardless of whose fault any of it is, what do they do to clean it up? And how has it not gotten cleaned up to this point? We're a quarter of the way through this thing now, Trey.
Yeah, it's all about repetition. I mean, they got to get on the same page. That's not a problem we should be having at this point. I know they're both new to one another, but Zach has now been the starting center ever since, week two in the preseason? So they've had a lot of time together. That should be something that should have been that should be locked in at this point. So I mean, there's no magic formula. They got to go in and get that thing right because that's not a problem that we need to be worried about, and it shouldn't be costing us like it has so far this year. It really hasn't. We've been able to overcome it the first three games, and obviously this fourth game was a big issue.
Trey, this has to do with Mason McCormick again, but let's do 30,000-foot view and think about, like, positions. Like, how is it difficult to move from left guard to right guard? Like, what are the intricacies? Is there anything different that Mason McCormick – I mean, I know that he played most of the game on Sunday at right guard, but this week he's going to be the right guard. We anticipate maybe Sam Mallow being back at left. How much different is that dynamic left guard and right guard?
The interior switch isn't nearly as hard as the tackle switch, and simply because the stagger that you have at guard is a little bit more, is not as severe as it is a tackle. And what I mean by stagger is when you're at left tackle, your right foot's up and your left foot is back so you can kick step. That's more severe a tackle because you got to cover up more ground. When you're inside, you don't have to take up as much ground on pass sets and coming off the ball. So it's a little bit easier, in my opinion, to switch interiorly because it's more about which plant leg you have. And so if you're more right leg dominant, obviously, then maybe left guard might be easier for you. But it's really not as big of a deal as you would think. But tackle's a lot harder to guard.
How's Broderick Jones looking now? I mean, he got a great opportunity here. You never want to see anybody get hurt, but we were talking on the air about whether or not he would even get a chance this season unless somebody gets hurt. Obviously, Fautanu out for the regular season. What have you seen in these last two games?
I thought he played better against the Chargers. I think everybody saw that. He came out with an attitude, and I think he had a chip on the shoulder coming out with something to prove. He's been reading his the criticism, and I think he's taking it to heart. I thought he took a step back in this Colts game. They were going against their backup defensive end, and they got some pressure on him. I know that penalty wasn't called on him on that late hit, but he could have got called for it too. I think his was even after Spencer's was.
Yeah, right.
So, and his was worse because he had to straight in the back. But, yeah, I think it's getting to him, the criticism and all the noise, talking about how poor he's played. He let Odena Jabo or whatever his name is, the defensive end for the Colts, had two sacks on him. Broderick, he got around the hump on him on one play for one of the sacks. So I thought he took a step back after having a pretty good game against the Chargers. So he has to clean some stuff up because we need him. This is going to be a young O-line moving forward. Hopefully Isaac comes back and solidifies it a little bit. But losing James on the right side, that's going to hurt Broderick because he won't have that veteran presence next to him. And so, I mean, hopefully Mitch comes in and he's on his P's and Q's as far as knowing exactly what he needs to do, because Broderick won't be able to come to him and ask him what this play is or what the snap count is or what am I looking for. He's going to need to be helping Mitch or McCormick get on the same board with the rest of the guys. So his work is cut out for him because he's going to have to step up quick, fast, and in a hurry with James being out and a rookie starting next to him. And so I hope he bounces back, because whether or not Micah's playing or whether – I don't think Lawrence is playing.
Doesn't seem like it, no. This
week. But Micah has a chance to play. I mean, either way, they still got some depth on that Dallas Cowboys defensive line, and so we need him to step up quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Trey, really good stuff, man. We always appreciate you coming on. Someone just texted, and I love it when you guys have Trey Essex on. He always gives awesome insight, and man, his intelligence for football off the charts. Well, not just football. I mean, Trey's just a smart guy. That's why we love having him on. Trey, thank you so much, man. Northwestern. You don't get into Northwestern if you're a dummy. It doesn't happen. It ain't WVU.
My daughter's fifth grade homework is giving me some issues.
Best of luck with that, Trey. And thank you for your time as always, man. We do appreciate it.
All right, fellas. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Trey.
Take care. Trey Essex. It really is good. I mean, that's just some of the best offensive line talk you're going to get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the fifth grade homework can't be easy.
It's not. At fourth, and it's hard.
What are we working on now? Is it the math?
I don't know. I gave up. I'm not a teacher. I can't explain that.
Do they still do stuff the same way that we used to
do
it? Yeah, that's the problem.
Everything's different.
Yeah, if we got the same kind of multiplication tables, right, I think we'd be okay. Earlier on in the pre-show, we were having people text in things that we'd be willing to do for $700,000, and someone asked at 412-928-9370, a week in Gen Pop in prison for $700,000.
Yes.
I think that'd be easy. Because I would just say, hey, don't beat me up. If I get out of here clean, I'm going to get $700,000. I will pay some of y'all off. I'm going to get you guys the money. Don't hurt me. That's how that would go.
Gen Pop ruled off your tongue very smoothly there.
Gen Pop?
That slang term.
That's what someone texted, Gen Pop.
Yeah, you'd be, you'd get out of there with $0 because you'd have to pay everybody. Or they'd come after you.
Yeah, you know what? I might as well just leave and not get the 700, then stay there for a week and pay out the 700. I'd tell him I was making five and pocket the extra two.
Oh.
412-928-9370. That is the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can also tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We'll react to some of what Trey had to say when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The 2013 wildcard game at PNC Park was 11 years ago tonight. Cueto dropped the ball. I got blackout drunk. I don't remember the seventh inning on. All I remember is the highlights and Greg Brown saying, we'll see you in St. Louis, Louis.
That's it?
Apparently, I took some dirt from the field, too.
You don't know where it's at?
I have no clue where it's at. And my friend worked for the Pirates at the time, and so we went to a party with Bob Nutting, with some other bigwigs. All the drinks were comped. And I was probably embarrassing.
Yes.
Because I don't remember any of it. And I woke up not in my bed. Easy, easy. I woke up in a different room of my house the next morning. My phone's cracked. And it was a work day. I was late for work. It was a total disaster.
Goodness.
Yeah. So I'll never forget the parts that I could remember. But now it's 11 years ago. And what have they done since? And they go 76 and whatever last year. 76 wins this year. We'll get more into the Pirates later on in the show. They relieved Andy Haynes of his duties, also the bullpen coach, which, okay, whatever. Seems like not enough. I want your thoughts on that at 412-928-9370. But for now, let's react to what Trey Essex said in the last segment. He's not totally buying that this was Justin Fields' fault. Like, I thought he explained that really well, that he thinks it was the second leg kick, not the first leg kick, because if that were the case, why is the left guard looking back at the quarterback, and it all seemed weird. It doesn't seem like there's one quick fix to this, though. This snap issue deal. And it's under center, it's not under center, and it's, you can make an argument it cost them the game on Sunday. They got to figure this out, Doran. It can't continue to be this way, and you're four games in.
Yeah, it's kind of easy, and I asked them for an alternate way of doing things, and I can't even remember what we did on silent count when I was at least in college. Don't remember at all. I know it wasn't the tap system, but it was something. So it's not as hard, I think, as it looks.
Yeah.
It really isn't. And I would blame Mason McCormick, and that's why I asked him the question. Like, you're in a tough spot because you have McCormick at guard and you have Spencer Anderson at guard. Like, who do you trust more to do that? You got to have somebody do it.
Right.
You can't just have the center just do it. So,
going to be Seumalo, I would think, moving forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But I would say that it was McCormick's fault.
Well,
because if you're not seeing anything and you're Zach Frazier and you get a tap and you have a system where it's like a tap or two taps, you know whatever tap it is, that's whenever I snap the ball.
Right, so he gets the tap. We know Justin Fields is looking at the right side of the field, just trying to take a quick pick to look at the back, quick picture, my God, at the backside of the defense to kind of get his final snapshot before the ball is snapped. Zach Frazier was in the middle of his call.
Yes.
So Zach Frazier's still pointing things out. He gets the tap. When Zach Frazier finished up with his call, then he snapped the ball. I don't really care whose fault it is anymore. I don't. It can't happen. This is really should be basic stuff. I know you had three young pieces on the interior. It's basic stuff. And if you do it, I think they get out of that stadium with the win. There's a million different reasons why they lost the game. But when the simple routine stuff cost you, that's the stuff that pisses me off.
Yeah.
And I don't know where people are on this right now, but with the 3-0 start and how the rest of the division has also started, I looked at them and have looked at them now as a legitimate division contender. You lost to the Colts. I said you get a pass from me. One pass. I said it before the game. You don't get any more. You lost last year to New England, Cleveland with their fourth string quarterback, and you lost to Indianapolis and got your doors blown off. You win two of those games, you're playing for a division championship against the Baltimore Ravens at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You can't do this again, and it can't happen because you can't snap the freaking football. It is unacceptable. I feel like I'm shouting into a void, but it's the dumbest thing. Just like on defense, when Patrick Queen two times is looking around, oh, geez, what happened here? That's the stuff that can't happen.
No.
Don't let the Colts defense off the hook. That's what they did. Don't let the Colts offense off the hook. That's what they did. Incredibly frustrating. And now you consider what their offensive line is going to look like the rest of the year. Dan Moore, Seumalo, Frazier, McCormick, Broderick Jones. And Trey said that he thought Broderick Jones took a step back on Sunday. I think he did too.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have some up and downs, but you can't be as bad as he was on Sunday. And he was bad.
Going against the backup too.
Right, giving up two sacks. And for a team that wants to win with the Hawks, that was the most concerning thing on Sunday to me, is you want to win up front on both sides of the ball. And you lost decisively on both sides of the ball. I listened to a lot of radio yesterday, and I don't know that anybody excused the defensive performance, but I think the collective group think from a lot of fans too is, oh, the defense will figure it out. Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree, but I don't know that it was a ton of schematic stuff. Like, I think they just got their butts whooped.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is a big problem. When your defensive front, the best in the NFL, supposedly gets whooped, just man-on-man, straight-up pushed around, that to me is no good. That to me is no good. And I don't know if that's the kind of thing you scheme around. 412-928-9370. Oh, all of a sudden, I'm grumpy on a Tuesday. And yeah, I'm losing
because,
my voice.
Yeah, because there's little issues that potentially lost in the game. I mean, fumbling and not getting out of bounds, and then fumbling again, and then snap issues. It's stuff that you work out, and the kinks that you work out during training camp that are happening now where you're in crucial spots of the game where you could win.
Right.
And that's what's beating you. You're not beating you. Well, you get pushed around a little bit, but you figure out a way to fight back, and then you shoot yourself in the foot whenever you're trying to fight back and you do have a chance.
Exactly. And I listened to the first segment of the PM team yesterday. Sorry, guys, couldn't listen to the rest of the show. And a lot of the loss they put on Tomlin. And we talked about all the bizarre Tomlin decisions in the game and the clock management and the challenge that was obviously stupid and the passing of the field goal. I think Tomlin's fingerprints were all over this loss. But I don't blame Tomlin for the snap. I don't blame Tomlin for George Pickens fumbling the football. Like, I blame Tomlin for the start. I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
But as you're trying to get back in the game, you expend so much energy trying to get back on it, and it's three, really, with the fumble from Fields. Three crucial mistakes that just shouldn't happen. I don't put that stuff on the coach. I don't put that on Mike Tomlin. Like, he's the head man. Like, everything, you know, the buck stops with him. But you think he's telling George Pickens, throw the ball behind your back?
No.
You think he's telling Zach Frazier, snap the ball off the quarterback's face? Okay. Coming up next, we look around the NFL. I don't think we've got to go game by game, but there's some big-time talking points around the league and how they all affect the Steelers. We'll do that for the next about half hour or so. We do it every Tuesday, and that is brought to us by Champ Tires, all brands in every size. Football music. Taking a look around the league. Brought to you by Champ Tires. All brands in every size, but first a text. How many more times do we have to hear that Wrangler commercial? Which one?
When I wake up
in the morning light,
I put on my jeans and I feel all right.
I don't think I've seen either of you guys ever wear jeans. I don't know that I've ever seen you guys wear jeans.
Not in here, no.
Are you a jeans guy?
Sometimes, yeah. Whenever it gets colder.
Yeah.
Probably like in about a couple weeks.
You always wear the pants you wear, you could wear to fancy occasions, you could wear to work out if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
What are those? The
pants.
They're not the name brand ones?
UNRL.
Lululemon?
No.
What's UNLRL?
UNRL.
I had a pair of Levi's that I wore like 5 years ago every other day, and they were the most comfortable jeans I've ever worn, and they fit me perfectly. They made my butt look good, according to my wife. And then they ripped. And I've never been able to find a pair of jeans that I like as much. And I bought the same kind, and it just, the wash is a little off, and yep. It just feels, what? So this is a word of the wise to all you listening out there. When you find the pair of jeans that's perfect for you, you hang on to them, okay?
Yes, you do.
Because now the jeans that I have, they barely fit. Like, I can't go up a size. If I go up a size, they're too big. But if I stay the same size, they're too snug, and if I get them right out of the dryer, they don't fit me anymore.
Were they the same exact jeans that you had before?
No. Well,
see? Well, there you go.
It's a problem. It's jeans in flannel season. This is my time.
I have the perfect, I've told you about the perfect jeans that you would love.
They're like the stretchy ones.
Yes.
They're like girl jeans.
No.
Yeah.
They're guy jeans.
What do they call those? The girl ones that are like fake jeans, but they're jegging. I don't know what they are. Jeggings, I think they
jeggings,
are.
Jeggings, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Perfect jeans. If you got them, you hang on to them. Even Brett Favre, jerk he is, looks cool in those Wrangler commercials. But we do move on. I saw a fair amount of people last night, including Mike DeCourcy, who writes for the Sporting News, just rip up on the NFL giving us two Monday Night Football games. And to those people, I wonder if you realize, and I wonder if you agree with this, if we didn't get two games last night, we might have just got Mason Rudolph v. Tyler Huntley.
Exactly.
Right?
That's the thought process, right? Because one, like, these are predetermined games.
Yeah.
They come out earlier, and if you're going through the season and you have a dud of a team and against another dud of a team, hey, let's put actually a good game, which we got last night, on the opposite side of the dud teams, which was the Seahawks and the Lions, was a fantastic football game. Yes.
There were points scored. There was good quarterback play. Some of the best tackle breaking you're going to see all season long. You showed me, what was it, Kenneth Walker?
Yes.
He rolls over a dude's back, gets up, defender still draped on his back, flips over again. I've never seen anything like it.
Unreal.
And then you've got Montgomery, who had one of the best catches and runs from a running back that you're ever going to see. Catches the ball as, you know, the check down, gets drilled, winds up going 40 yards. So I love the doubleheader, and I want more of the doubleheader, and we're not getting it. But we you know what we do get next Monday?
What do we got?
New Orleans at Kansas City.
Oh, that's going to be a good one.
I like that. That was a good game this weekend between New Orleans and Atlanta.
That might be Kansas City's first loss.
So that's kind of where I wanted to go with this. One of the big talking points out there, can the Chiefs keep it up? They've won 10 straight, 9 of those games by one score. It's the lowest a point differential has ever been in a 10-game winning streak in NFL history, which is kind of like a super niche kind of thing that you'd see on the scoreboard at PNC Park. Like, Freddie Sanchez is a 475 hitter in the middle of the day with the dew point being whatever. But still, I think it's a 56-point differential in this 10-game winning streak, meaning that they're winning on average by 5 points a game. And people are asking if the Chiefs are vulnerable. So, Doran, I ask you now, with Rashee Rice getting hurt for the season, are the Chiefs vulnerable?
No. No, they're not going to go undefeated. They're going to lose some games, which I think that they're probably going to lose on Monday night, but they're not vulnerable. They're exactly where they were last year. They didn't have any receivers last year. So, I mean, they added Xavier Worthy in the draft, and he's a good player. He's explosive. He's still around. But they also added Marquise Hollywood-Brown, and they added they had Rashee Rice in his second year, and he was looking like he was going to be all pro this year. Those two get hurt. They're back to where they were last year. They got Justin Watson. They got, you know, they got Worthy, and they got Travis Kelce. So they're fine.
They are fine.
But Pacheco's out, but they have Kareem Hunt now, who's...
And all of a sudden, Travis Kelce looked like Travis Kelce again.
Yes, they made it a point.
Yes. Let's get this guy the ball. And then Joe Buck was incredulous at the end of the game. Oh, the narrative could stop with Travis Kelce. He hadn't been good. He's got a superstar girlfriend. And he doesn't spend the offseason working out. He spends it touring. Like, he wasn't going to be great. I think he'll be fine.
Yes.
Now. We used to do this with the Patriots all the time. Like, the collective we. Oh, boy. When you got that coach and you got that quarterback, and oh, by, the defense is really good. I'm not sleeping on them for a second. Who's number two? Is it the Ravens, the team that lost to the Raiders? Maybe. Is it the Bills, the team that destroys the Jags, who are god-awful, and then they go and get their butt whooped by Baltimore? Like, I don't care how Kansas City's winning, they just win.
Yep.
They're the creme de la creme. I feel silly for saying it was Buffalo 2 weeks ago. It's a week-to-week league. What's the one constant? Seriously, in the entire league?
Kansas City.
It's that they win football games.
Yep.
Are the Ravens back?
Yes.
I think they might be the second-best team in the AFC. It's hard to argue. I mean, I know that they did lose to the Raiders.
It's going
to
look like it did last year. They'll play the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game again.
You know, the Ravens play the Bengals this week at Paul Brown Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Big game.
Are the Bengals back is the bigger question.
I don't think so.
Me neither.
Their defense, man, still, I don't think is very good.
Well, they beat the Panthers.
Right. Like, the Panthers had their let's circle the wagons game. Let's put up 36 points for Andy Dalton. And... you know, they just didn't have the firepower to keep up with Cincinnati, but I look and I see Cincinnati gives up in the mid-20s again. Now, Jaden Daniels might be the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can he have a C.J. Stroud season?
No doubt about it. He's already having it.
I thought that anybody talking like that, what happened?
Sorry, the music ran up. I forgot to stop it.
What? False start. 5-yard penalty. I thought people 2 weeks ago talking about Jaden Daniels as the next C.J. Stroud were out of their minds after what he did to the Bengals. It was a hell of a performance. And you and I liked him more than any of the other quarterbacks coming out. But I thought it was disrespectful to C.J. Stroud. I'm starting to think that right now Washington might be the best team in the NFC North.
I'm thinking that,
or
too.
Or the NFC East. Like, Philadelphia, there's just something off there with Philadelphia, man.
Yeah, they don't have it.
They don't have it.
Nope.
They collapsed down the stretch last year. I don't think Sirianni's a coach. Yeah. They got whooped. They thought they figured their defensive problems against New Orleans. New Orleans had scored 90 points in the first two games, and the Eagles' defense looked really good. And then this week, just there's something off there. I'm not buying the Giants. The Cowboys are banged up, and I think they're soft even when they're healthy. When we look at the back half of the schedule for the Steelers, it does not look as daunting, difficult, as much as a gauntlet as we thought whenever the schedule came out or even when we looked before the season. But one game looks a lot harder now than it looked when the ball kicked off at the beginning of September, and that's that Washington Commanders team. Joe Flacco just diced this defense up. But now we're looking way ahead. Speaking of the Cowboys, what are they dealing with? An awful lot. What's that mean for the Steelers? We'll talk about that next. We'll continue looking around the league. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We were talking about Jaden Daniels a little bit in the last segment. So then Callis corrects himself, but says Jaden Daniels out for the season, not James Daniels, Steelers right guard out for the season. And someone texts in and says, "Dear God, Callis, you just tried to screw my fantasy team." And then they wrote, "Callis is the Broderick Jones of the morning show."
Oh, man. That's
that a good thing?
No.
Oh.
It means you've got a lot of potential, but have yet to live up to it.
Ooh, ouch.
Inconsistent, according to this texter.
At least I corrected myself. I mean, come on now.
And in the last segment, you started to fire off a fan headline at a random spot.
And that was my bad. I was...
I take responsibility. It was me. It's my fault that that headline played. That's what a good leader does, Doran.
Oh, yeah.
Took responsibility for something I did. That's awesome.
I got your back, buddy.
After he just called you out.
Well, the texter called it out. Didn't have to read it.
The texter didn't say about him firing off the headline.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was me. Okay. So the Cowboys limp into town. Light on potentially for Micah Parsons to play in this football game because you have 10 days because they played on Thursday. I don't feel optimistic if I'm a Cowboys fan, and I'm sure there are Cowboys fans listening right now. They're all over the place. They're like cockroaches, these guys, these Cowboys fans. I doubt Micah Parsons will play, but we'll find out more over the course of the week. DeMarcus Lawrence is not going to play. Lawrence is dealing with an injury. He's going to be out week to week, and the Steelers, Dorn, a 2.5-point favorite. When you look at the schedule before the season, you look at this game and go, man, Dallas wins, what, 12 games last year? That's all they've done under Mike McCarthy. And while they have left a lot to be desired come playoff time, they're a tough out in the regular season. Well, now, man, I know it's only Tuesday. You got to take care of Dallas at home. Their two best defensive players are out. Offensively, they're definitely not clicking on all cylinders. They beat the Giants by scoring 20 points. I put this game, there's no such thing as a must-win game, I don't think, in early October. But I put this in the you should win and you should take care of business category. What do you think?
Yeah, everything is aligning. I mean, with Mike Tomlin in primetime and, you know, I'm having a letdown last week responding this week. But I'm just following your lead. You were spot on last week. And you called it as soon as we walked in on Monday before we even started the show. You're like, they're going to win this game. They're going to win. They're going to beat the Cowboys. So I'm following your lead. Whatever you got feeling over there, I'm following that.
This is, if last week was the classic Mike Tomlin loss, clock management, poor start, yada, yada, this is the classic Mike Tomlin win, where you've got Deshaun Elliott saying, we got to change our practice, blah, blah. They might strap it up this week, Dort. They might go pads.
Pads.
Uh-oh. They did it before the Baltimore Ravens last year. Win the football game. They got destroyed at home by the 49ers last season. Following week, what do? They come out, they whoop up on the Cleveland Browns. Defensively, they played a good defensive game. Deshaun Watson gave the game to the Pittsburgh Steelers. It has that feel. NFC opponent, primetime game, at home, coming off a loss, banged up opposition. Even though you're banged up, yeah, Steelers win this game.
I can't believe that you're going against your guy Dak. You love Dak. You don't think he's going to have a good game?
Justin Fields has been better than Dak this year.
That is true.
I think the Steelers have the quarterback advantage in this game.
Mm.
Now, they had it in the last game, both quarterbacks, and lost. But you got the quarterback advantage in this one. And I start to reevaluate now. Justin Fields, the 10th best quarterback rating in the National Football League. The eye test backs that up. We might have to do that with Pat Bostic later in the week. Reevaluate which games the Steelers have the quarterback advantage in. And hey, look, I think Dak's a good regular season quarterback. He's not playing as well as Justin Fields is at this point. Couple picks. Yeah, he has thrown the 6 touchdowns. Decent quarterback rating, not as good as Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Coming up next. Today is the 11-year anniversary of the PNC Park blackout game. And My Twitter timeline is all up in its feels about this game. I think I feel different about it than anybody else. I'll tell you why. And then I think there's a larger Pittsburgh sports question that I think follows. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Let's do it when we come back. But first, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet Washington Road in McMurray or at sunchevy.com. Today, high is 71, low is 62, overcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.